Tabernacle family and all our friends joining through Facebook and YouTube Live. We are streaming from Philadelphia, PA, where Elder Jonathan E. Ford is the pastor. I just want to take this opportunity to usher you in to this wonderful season of harvest. If you didn't know that this was the season that we are currently in, please look around. Look around. Today, I want to ask you a question. What will you believe God for? That has laid on my heart since my spiritual daughters, Shanita and Courtney Scott, asked me to do or to be the liturgist this morning. And that was months ago. But he told me to ask you, what will you believe God for? I'm going to ask everyone to stand as we enter into our prayer. Father God, today I ask that we approach the throne of grace as boldly as our hearts have in us. Lord, we come seeking that miracle, that deliverance, that touch of salvation that we all need to make it through these last and evil days. Lord, we ask that you look down on us today. Every member that walks through this door, let them have a spirit of expectancy. Let it fall down, Lord. Let your miracles astound us. No tongue will be without a testimony today, Lord. Families will be delivered. Children will be saved. The incurable will be healed today. No pain. No pain. No pain. No pain, Lord. We shall see the glory fall today. We declare it in the precious name of Jesus. Today, Lord. Today, Lord. Today, Lord. Today, Lord. Today, Lord. Today, Lord. And I thank you in advance for the miracle, for the wonders, in the name of Jesus. We just thank you in advance, Lord. Lord, we believe today. We believe that you can do the impossible. We want to believe the incredible. And today, I proclaim it to be so in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory, glory, glory. question. I said, what will you believe God for? And I'm going to help you out. I believe God for everything. A year ago, 2 days before my birthday, June 23rd, they found a suspicious mass on my breast. Then it became, well, we found two tumors. Then it became, it spread to your lymph nodes. Minister Norm Lyons, he told me, it's not unto death. Deaconess Helena Weiss said, it's not unto death. It was not until my daughter came to me after they had said it had spread to my lymph node. She said, Mom, I had a dream. She said, I made you dance to this valley where we were met by people that I didn't even know. She said, some looked familiar. She said, but they were waiting for us. She said, they wrapped you in a purple cloth and bent you forward as if you were praying. And she said, you will be restored in this body. She said, in this body. It wasn't until my daughter had the faith to believe in my healing that I believed. She said, Mom, you're going to lose your hair. Was she wrong? She said, Mom, it's going to take everything that's in you to make it through this. She said, but you will see the other side. January of this year, I finished my chemotherapy. When I tell you I was crawling, I was crawling. By March, I finished my radiation treatment. I had burns on my throat. I was tired. I was exhausted. But my daughter, she came to me and she said, we take a trip every year for your birthday. I've already paid for us to go away this year. Her faith to believe. I'm looking like, oh, Lord, I'm struggling here. My birthday's in June. I told you I just finished radiation treatment in March. You want me to go away? Ladies and gentlemen of Taylor Tabernacle, June 25th, which is my birthday, I went for my scans. June 25th, my birthday, I was declared cancer-free. That's not last year. That's not the year before. That was 3 months ago. 3 months ago, I was declared cancer-free. So I'm asking you right now, what do you believe God for? Right now, while you're standing, I'm going to read scripture. I know there was a scripture assigned, but God gave me this. Hebrews 10, starting at the 19th verse, and I am reading the Amplified Version. And I'm going to tell you, when I read this, once again, what will you believe God for? Therefore, believers, since we have confidence and full freedom to enter the holy place, the place where God dwells by the means of the blood of Jesus, by this new and living way which he initiated and opened for us through the veil, as in the Holy of Holies, that is through his flesh. And since we have a great and wonderful priest who rules over the house of God, let us approach God with a true and sincere heart in unqualified assurance of faith, having had our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and bodies washed with pure water. Let us seize and hold tightly the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is reliable and trustworthy and faithful to his word. And let us consider thoughtfully how we may encourage one another to love and do good deeds, for not forsaking our meeting together as believers for worship and instruction, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day of Christ's return approaching. So on this day, I'm encouraging you. I'm asking you. I'm imploring you to put your worst down and say, God, I believe you for. At this time, I'm going to ask my daughter to come and to give us a sermonic selection.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Can you hear me? Praise the Lord, everybody. How's everybody doing this morning? I said, how everybody doing this morning? Okay. All right. I'm just going to sing a song. If you do not, if you know the song, please sing along. I'm going to repeat a few lyrics. So if it touches you, sing with me. There is only one name. There is only one name with power to save. With power to save. And there is only one name. There is only one name with power to save. Power save. And our God is champion. He reigns forevermore. Our God is champion. He reigns forevermore. And every knee will bow down, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ, you are Lord. Our God is champion. He reigns forevermore. Oh, my God, He is champion. He reigns forevermore. And hear these words. Atmosphere shift now, chains be broken, break out, Holy Spirit come now, heaven open, heaven open, atmosphere shift now. Chains be broken, break out, Holy Spirit, come now, heaven open, atmosphere shift now, chains be broken, break out, Holy Spirit, come now, heaven open, and our God, He's champion, He reigns forevermore. When our God is champion, He reigns forevermore. Thank you. Okay. She said the chains are broken. She said the heavens opened up. Once again, what are you going to believe God for? As we prepare ourselves for the word, ask yourself that thing that Elder Curitan asked you last week that was keeping you up at night. So I'm telling you right now, right here,
have the faith to believe God, to believe that He can take that thing that has you wrestling at night and deliver you from it, cure you from that illness, to place your feet on solid ground that God has ordained for you to walk on, to have dominion over, to have the life that He wants you to have. And as His children, you know He wants the very best for us. The very best for us. At this time, I'm going to ask everyone to stand as we welcome our speaker of the hour, our sermonic sermon coming from Deaconess Keisha Curran. And I'll receive her with a hearty amen.
Amen.
And a preach, Keisha preach. I'm ready.
Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Can we just give the Lord some praise this morning? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we bless your holy and mighty name this morning. Hallelujah. Lord, we give you praise this morning, God. Father, we're excited this morning, God, for all that you're doing and desire to do, oh God. Father, we praise your name, God. We give you glory, oh God. You are the one who has set us free. You are the one that has saved our soul. You are the one that has delivered us. So, Lord Jesus, we will not forget to give you praise this morning. We will not forget this opportunity, God. We will not lose sight, God, of who you are and what you're doing in the earth. Hallelujah. Let's just give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah. Open up your mouth and give the Lord some praise. Open up your mouth and give the Lord some praise. Open up your mouth and give the Lord some praise. For he's worthy. Hallelujah. He's worthy, oh God. He's worthy, oh God. He's worthy. Hallelujah. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. I can tell you that God loves you so much that he has destined this day for your deliverance. Hallelujah. He has destined this day for chains to be broken off of you in Jesus' name. You are his child. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I implore you, don't leave until you get what you came for this morning. Because I am a testimony that God is faithful to give you exactly what you need when you need it. Thank you, Jesus. If my sister Rayetta, her life is a testimony. Hallelujah. Our sister Helena, her life is a testimony. Hallelujah. Our sister Shanita, her life is a testimony. My life is a testimony. Hallelujah. That God is faithful, and he is faithful to do it and to perform it in your life today. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I don't want to belabor the hour, but I know that the water is troubled. Hallelujah. I know that there is a blessing this morning. Hallelujah. I know that God wants to show up this morning. I know that God wants to break chains off of our life. Hallelujah. And so, Lord God, I thank you. I thank you for choosing me this day. And Lord God, I am a willing vessel for you to pour into this day, this moment, this hour. And Lord God, I pray that you do what you want to do this day, God. Have your way today, God. Have your way, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes we got to stir up the atmosphere. Hallelujah. The foundation has already been laid. But how many know that God wants us to go from glory to glory to glory? Hallelujah. That it will sustain us through this week. Amen. So go with me. Matthew 25:1-13. I'll take a moment as you get the word. If you need a Bible, just put your hand up and our usher will get it for you. Hallelujah. Say amen if you have it. Amen. And the word says, and this is the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. And the word says, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bride came, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Before we get to the text, I just want to give a moment and honor our pastor, Elder Jonathan Ford, in his absence. I thank him for the opportunity to stand here before you today. I also want to take a moment to honor my husband, Reverend John Cureton, and my children and my family, saints, ministers, deacons. Just want to give honor to everyone, and I ask that you pray with me this morning. Amen. Pray with me, pray for me, etc. But today, the title of the sermon this morning is, Are You Preparing Your Extra Oil? So today, as I mentioned, we're going to be talking about the parable of the 10 virgins. But before we dissect these scriptures, there's some foundation that has to be laid. And so I ask your patience as we lay down the foundation. And to order to understand these parables, we have to understand some of those traditions in biblical times. For a Jewish family, in a Jewish wedding in those days, the groom's father finds a bride for his son and pays the bride's family. The two families then enter into a contract to be married called betrothal, which is similar to how we view the engagement period. The groom then goes away to prepare a place for his bride, which usually consisted of building a house so the couple can live comfortably on their own. The groom then comes back for his bride after the preparations are completed, which is usually about a year. And together they enter the wedding feast, and they are officially married. So when you look at Matthew 25 in context, if you look further up, Matthew 24, if you look further down, Matthew 25 after the 13th verse, you'll see that this is the end of times teaching. And just a plug for Wednesday night where our pastor is teaching on end of times. Amen. And I'm not one to study end of times. I'm not one to look at it too closely because I personally believe that my eyes are just going to stay on Jesus. When he comes and my prayers that I'll be ready. But so when the Lord gave me this text to speak this morning, I'm like, okay, end of times. Amen. I'm going to do what he say. That's the only way. So in this text, the 10 virgins represents the pre-rapture congregation as a whole. And it describes who will make it in, what will be required to enter the wedding feast when Christ comes back again. And if you've been joining us on Wednesday night, then you know the wedding supper of the Lamb, the marriage supper of the Lamb, the marriage of the Lamb, and how all these things intertwine with the end of times doctrine. Amen. And if you need that handout, I have it in my email. I'll be happy to forward it to you. And if you want to join us on Wednesday night Bible study, I also encourage that as well. But we're going to just go through the text this morning, line by line. The first verse, it says, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom." So this is also interesting to note. In Orthodox Judaism, a synagogue service was not counted as official unless there were 10 adult men present. So if you look around, we might just barely be an official service in Orthodox Judaism. So Jesus opened up this parable comparing the kingdom of heaven to 10 women. He's challenging the status quo at that time of not including women in their official church count. And he's not saying that his church is all women. He's just overemphasizing to contrast what was currently the norm at that time. And he's also emphasizing how important women are to his church, how women were the backbone of his ministry. And then if you know in Matthew 18, he says, "Where two or three are gathered in my name." Amen. So it's just, he's just saying, listen, it don't have to be 10 adult men. It could be who I appoint to be there to worship me, and he is going to be in the midst. So he is challenging the tradition. He is being a rebel. He is throwing shade at the Pharisees and Sadducees, and he's just telling them like it is. In the verse 2-5, it says, "Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamp. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept." Lamp in this parable represents the word of God. Psalm 119:105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Oil represents the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the abiding presence of God. In the Bible and today, oil was used for healing, deliverance, protection, position. The list goes on why we use our oil for those that have it in our home. But Psalm 23b, it says, "You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." With the 10 women representing a church congregation, the 10 virgins were all pure and holy. They knew the word of God, represented by the lamp. And their lamps were all lit. That means they had a little bit of a Holy Spirit in them, right? It had something to keep them going, had something. But yet still, something was not up for Jesus' standard for half of the congregation. Verse 6-9, it says, "And at midnight, a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but rather go to those who sell and buy for yourselves.'" In my studies, the thing, when I looked at that set of texts, the thing that jumped out is discernment. Because in these days, we have to know who to help, when to help, and how to help. Amen? Because if helping a foolish person causes us to backslide from our position in Christ, then our answer must be, no thank you. Amen? Because it's so important that we stay in tune with Christ. We are taught many times as Christians that we have to give. And many times we think we have to give everything. But I'm here to tell you that you have to give as the Lord tells you to give. We can't give everything, that we're all worn out and then we backslidden and in a place that God did not call us to be in. But we have to be careful that we're not casting our pearls to the swine, also known as the foolish. In those days, it was common for people to make their own oil straight from the olives, which took about a day to prepare. But since the foolish women ran out of time and were not prepared, they were forced to try to purchase oil in a hurry. If I had to give a side note, how many of us know that there's a difference between what you make with your own hands and what you buy from the store? There is a difference. I was thinking about your pound cake. Lord Jesus, have mercy. Amen. You can't buy pound cake like that at the store. If anybody knows something about her pound cake, sorry y'all, I'm fasting. Woo, but that pound cake, you can't buy it like that. Potato salad, you can't buy it from the store. Sweet potato pie, you can't buy it from the store. Some things you got to make with your own hands. You got to do the preparation. The preparation. Let me say that one more time. The preparation. Verse 10 through 13. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. And if you were here last week, our Reverend Cureton preached and he mentioned that word, assuredly. He said, assuredly. The foolish women not only didn't have enough oil to sustain them, but they thought it could be bought, which I believe is what made them foolish. The oil for our lamps in these last days cannot be bought. The only way to receive the oil is by faith, time, and sacrifice in our pursuit of Christ. Active faith requires time and sacrifice. It's not easy or convenient. It's often painful and even gets a little lonely. Amen. But Matthew 7:14, it says, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. The oil is an outward manifestation of inward preparation. Remember that the oil represents Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. So I ask you, are you preparing extra oil? The 10 women had fellowship with one another in the congregation, but the 5 foolish lacked fellowship with Christ himself, because he said in his own words in verse 12, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. When Jesus says he doesn't know a person, it means that they don't look like him in their heart and they don't come to him in prayer. When you think of your closest relationships in your life, everyone, just take a moment. Think of your closest relationships in your life, those people that are special and dear to you. You get to know that person by you spend time with them. You spend quality time with them. You share your heart with them. You share what you're feeling. You're spending time. You make an effort. And y'all, I'm preaching myself this morning because I'm not saying nothing that I'm not dealing with myself. But you make an effort to go see them, especially if you ain't seen them in a while. You make an effort to go see them. But ultimately, our hearts must be home to Jesus. When we witness, we often ask people, do you know Jesus? And those of us that were on the street ministry, were out there hitting the block, we were witnessing, do you know God? Do you know Jesus? But I was thinking a better question to ask people is, does Jesus know you? 2 Timothy 2:19, it says, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Jesus knows us when we grow to look like him in our character and conduct, when we're producing fruit in our lives, when we overcome sin and take authority over our flesh. And this is a process. We can't be holy overnight, but it is a process, step by step, day by day. I keep working on it, keep working on those issues. But Jesus knows us when we belong to him. Nahum 1:7b says, and he knows those who trust in him. Jesus knows us when we lean on him, depend on him, and we put our complete trust in him. We're not trusting our jobs. We're not trusting our families. We're not trusting the various signs that we see in our life, but we're trusting the name of Jesus. We're trusting the person of Jesus. The 10 women were the congregation as they gathered together, but the 5 women were Christ Church, not having a spot or wrinkle, which means they were prepared. We become a church when we are a habitation of God's presence, when we ask Jesus to live in our hearts and he abides there forever, when we surrender our lives to him. And if I could say something about surrender, it is a painful process. But I can tell you that is the most beautiful outcome, to be walking in the will of Jesus, to lay it down at his feet. Amen. But overall, there are 4 things to help us prepare our extra oil so we can become his church that Jesus is coming back for. The first one is seek God in your secret place. God does not want us to get our oil solely from other people, but directly from him. Just you and Jesus, where you can let down your guard, share your heart, and release your burdens to a Savior who cares for you. It was about 6 months ago. I fight to stay in his presence. I fight to be one with him and to make sure that I experience him and to encounter him every day. And this fight was, it was rough. I just felt like things just tearing at me, trying to pull me away. And I had joined this prayer group with people from around the world. And we were gathered together to pray most days in the morning. And I was excited because I'm like, okay, Lord, I finally, you know, feel like I'm getting back on track. And these people, they could pray, pray, pray. When they pray, you know, I'm seeing stuff. You know, I'm feeling stuff. I'm like, whoa, Lord, this is exactly what I need. But it was one morning that the Lord convicted me in my spirit, and he said clearly, this prayer time cannot replace your time with me alone. I thought I was doing something, but God stopped me in my tracks. Because sometimes what you see is not always what it is. Because there is a thing called fool's gold. It looks like gold. It's shiny. It's bright. It looks like it's worth something. But when you crack it open, there's nothing there. And the only way that we can have the real gold, the real thing, is this word of God, spending time with him. When we are saved, our love for God must come with a desire to spend time with him, which Jesus gave us his perfect example in his word. He was in fellowship with his disciples. He was engaged in ministry, and yet he stole away to the secret place to spend time with his Father. And because he did all that, we must do the same. But this is why Jesus died, so that we can have access to him. We can have access to the Father through Christ. That was the scripture that was read this morning, that the veil was torn, that we can come to him anytime that's needed. We can come to him anytime there is a need on our lives, anytime there is a burden, we can come to him. He does not require an appointment. He does not require set hours. He does not require anything except you come into his presence and call on the name of Jesus. That's it. It is so simple. But when we spend that time with him, he has a way of preparing us for what we need when we need it. That's the only way. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Thank you, Jesus. The second point is to stretch to overcome self, as a part of fellowship with others. So one thing I noticed after being saved for a little bit, that it's a little easier to be righteous when I'm by myself. It's just me by myself. I could praise the Lord. I could pray. You know, I'm listening to my worship music. I'm in my word. I'm good. But as soon as I get to work, as soon as certain people come over, then I realize maybe I'm not as strong as I thought I was. Maybe I'm not as patient as I once was. Maybe I'm not as gentle as I used to be. I was thinking, I had one of my sons had colic. And he would cry every night for hours. He would be fed, changed, burped, you name it, and he would just cry. But I can tell you that prayer was nurtured in my life, because that's all I could do was pray to keep me from hurting that baby. That's the only thing I could do was pray. But I realized there is something lacking on the inside of my faith, because I thought I was good, but apparently I wasn't then. And how about you hanging out with a seasoned saint who complains about everything? Or they talk about all the funerals that they went to that week. Help us, Lord. But when we are spending time in fellowship with one another, then we can see those issues that rise up in us and that stuff that we have to go back to Jesus about to deal with us. Because ultimately, we need both the fellowship with one another and the vertical alignment with Jesus. Time with both. Hebrews 12:14, it says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. But that iron that sharpens iron, as I get better, I help you become better. As I overcome, I help you overcome. As you overcome, listen, you are encouraging me to overcome. And then together, that iron sharpens iron, that we both be made better. But it's the process, y'all. It's rough. Amen. The third point, study the scriptures so you can know God and be known by him. I'm going to read 2 Timothy 2:15 in the King James Version. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When we study God's word, it gets written on our heart, and over time, you start to look like him. But we use this word as a mirror to what work is needed to be done in my own heart. I chose the King James Version because it particularly said study. New King James Version, it said be diligent. NIV said something like try your best. But this word, it says study. And it's all part of preparation. We're preparing our oil. The fourth point, steadfast pursuit. Do steps 1 through 3 all over again every day. Be consistent. Grow to be consistent in it. I'm going to say grow to be consistent in it. But if we do these four things, we are preparing the extra oil we need to join Jesus at the wedding feast of the Lamb, that we can be counted as wise and not foolish. So his oil will flow with abundance in our life. Amen. That extra oil comes from the sum of the horizontal relationship and the vertical relationship. If you gave 1 point for each, 1 point for horizontal, 1 point for vertical, that's two. That's the double portion, the extra capacity. We can only get there when we let down our burdens and we allow room for Jesus. But we need the capacity for the extra in these days. As I mentioned before, I'm not an end of times scholar. I don't particularly like reading about it because I know that means hard times. But I know that there is something different happening in the earth. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to see that something different is happening in the earth. And I believe that God gave me this message this morning as a wake-up call for us to get serious about our walk with Christ. Luke 11:13 says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The only response to this message can be found in Psalm 25:8. When you said, "Seek my face," my heart said to you, "Your face, Lord, I will seek." I didn't come this morning with anything fancy. Bread and butter. It's things that we have already been taught through our lives. But sometimes we just need a reminder. Sometimes we just need a little encouragement. To get that secret place, get it started again. To get that time with Jesus started again. Because I could tell you, the enemy doesn't care when we come to church. He doesn't care when we fellowship with other believers. But get serious about prayer and watch stuff move in your life. As I close this morning, the doors of the church are open. Yes. If you need a church home, yes, if you need a fellowship where you can fellowship with other believers, feel free to reach out and we will receive you. We're not a perfect church, but we are a Bible-believing church. And we're pressing into his will. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And I encourage you, if you're watching online and you don't have a church home, reach out to us. If you live far away, find a church home near you. I personally believe that you should have a church home that's near you where you can go and fellowship with other believers in person. I have to add that in person. Because it's the press. It's the press. It's the faith. It's the press. It's the preparation. That's all part of the preparation. It's the press. Amen. And this second call. If you don't know the Lord Jesus, if you have not accepted him as your personal Savior, maybe you're here, maybe you're online, but I encourage you to pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge my need for you. I confess I am a sinner and ask you to forgive me for my sins. I believe that you died and rose again, and sin no longer has power over me. I ask you to come into my heart, save me, and fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. And this last call, if you're struggling with your walk with Christ, if you know that you once were on fire for Jesus, but now it's just a burden to just come to church, to just turn on YouTube, to just pray, to just do anything, I encourage you to come to the altar for prayer. Because I know that these are desperate times, and we want you to make it in when he comes back again. And I have to close my eyes because I don't want to look at anybody. And maybe it's that I need prayer this morning to keep us going, to keep us moving forward, to keep pressing forward into the things of God, to not lose hold of what he's doing. But the altar is open if you need prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God has been so good. I am so thankful for what he is doing. He is moving in the midst, and all we have to do is say, "Yes, Lord, here I am. I am a vessel willing to be used by you." Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to his name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen, deacons. And if you find that you would like prayer after service, you didn't want to come up, that's fine too. We are here and available to pray for you. Amen. Thank you, church.
Yes.
Be encouraged.
Yes.
Let's keep pressing forward. Let's keep going higher in Jesus' name. Let's keep taking authority over our flesh. Thank you, Lord.
All right, good morning to the Taylor Tabernacle family and friends.
At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, we may give through one of five ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, Venmo, or also by the U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text, text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to TAYLORTABERNACLE.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. Venmo at Taylor/Tabernacle/6309. For those who are with us in the sanctuary today, you will find two offering baskets next to the side ramp, one for your tithes and offerings and one for the preacher. Please place your sealed envelopes in the baskets as you exit the sanctuary. Pastor via Cash App or Venmo, Cash App $Pastor Jonathan Ford, Venmo at Jonathan-Ford-25. As always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry. Now we will have our announcements by our sister, Renee Bosley.
Hello, everybody. The pastor and leadership team would like to thank you for joining us this Sunday. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook and YouTube Live so that you may continue to join us in worship from your home. Remember to hit subscribe right there on the YouTube page or follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle so that you are informed and up to date with all of our upcoming gatherings and dates. If you are not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your new email address and we will add you to the list. When you decide to join us for the in-person worship, please take your temperature before leaving home and bring a mask to wear. If you or someone in your family has had contact with anyone who has the COVID-19 virus, we encourage you to please stay home. Every first Sunday, we will gather at 8:30 a.m. in person for prayer, followed by morning service at 10 a.m. Wednesday nights are prayer and Bible study at 7 p.m. via Google Meet. Our Sunday school is from 8:30 to 9 a.m. via Google Meet, and we look forward to seeing your children every second, third, and fourth, and fifth Sundays. And as for our Pastor Ford's Wiley Challenge, I just want you all to please remember the Pastor Wiley Challenge and see him for any further details. As you may or may not know, you have to invite at least two people so that they can join Wiley. And there's a prize at the end. There's a gift card. I'm not going to talk about how much the gift card is. I'm just going to say there's a gift card involved. So please bring two people. I know am I included? Can I do that? No? Okay. All right. So again, just remember the Pastor Wiley Challenge and see him for any details. Thank you.
All right. Well, unfortunately, we've come to that time where we say goodbye. We thank you for joining us today. Your presence means everything. You took the time to come into the house of God for just a moment, to just to lay down everything that beseeched you, to just to escape into God and just leave it all there. At this time, we're going to ask our deaconess, Tisha Curran, to come along with Reverend Curran for our benediction. Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord, saints. Amen. 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 We bless the Lord for the word. Amen. And for what he has done today. Father, we thank you that you blessed us to be in your presence on this morning. We bless you, O Lord, for all of the oil that has flowed so freely and so effectively and so lovingly has come for us. So, Father, as we depart this place, keep that same spirit within us. Abide richly, O God, hallelujah, that we might represent you everywhere that we go. Father, we bless your name. We love you in this place. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.